Blog Talk Radio.
Showed up. Shawty. What'd he do? Yeah.
Pimpin'.
Oh boy.
What y'all know about a supermodel? Fresh out of L Magazine. My whole bottle. Look, pimp juice, I keep it one. When you see me, act like you know me. I keep a dollar worth a dime. You know, pimping ain't easy. For all my chicks in the club, who knows how to cut a rug?
If you're a bad girl, get at me, bad girl.
Tuned in to the Iceman Show. I'm your host, the Iceman. More bounce to the ounce, and I say what counts. Don't nobody go home till the fat man gets it in. What's happening, chocolate people? This is your captain speaking. I am the Iceman, and you are tuned in to the Iceman Show. Decided to do a Tuesday broadcast, a Tuesday afternoon broadcast. We might be a little early, we might not be able to catch everybody this earlier in the day. But we're just trying to feel out what time is good for us to do our broadcast and be on the air. And so you are invited to call in. If you have the guest call-in number, you are welcome to call in. You're welcome to call in and get in on the discussion. The topic for the day is the fallacy of post-racial society, the new black conservatism, and the scared old black civil rights generation, and how these individuals affect us, those of us who are considered to be progressive individuals. So you're welcome to join in on the discussion. We are doing a triple cast as usual. We are on Facebook Live. We are also on YouTube live stream. And we're also on Blog Talk Radio /The Iceman Show. And so if you're on one of those platforms and or you have the guest call-in number, feel free to call in while we're on the air on Blog Talk Radio as well as the other two platforms. If you have something you want to get off your chest, but it has to be related to the topic, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the fallacy of a post-racial society, the new black conservatism, and the old scared civil rights generation. Let's keep it to one of those three topics. We can hopefully get what we want today. We have today. I remember when I was living in San Antonio, Texas, aka Stank Antonio. I was living in San Antonio. I finished my second master's. I moved away, but then I moved back for some reason. And, you know, San Antonio, and I'm just going to say this, San Antonio is one of the dirtiest, nastiest cities you've ever been in. If you've ever been to San Antonio outside of Six Flags Fiesta Texas and SeaWorld and Riverwalk, if you've been outside of any one of those institutions, you know there's nothing else in San Antonio to get engaged in. It's a very dirty, non-progressive city. The people are very ignorant. There's a lot of overweight, spandex-wearing, nasty-ass people that live there. There's a lot of thieving-ass people in San Antonio. No matter where you live at, even if you live in last time I was there, I was in a very upscale apartment complex. And the maintenance guys were going around, the Mexicans were going around in people's apartments when they were out of town or away from their residence. I mean, it's just the level of just the ghetto mentality and the low-life mentality of the people in San Antonio. It's amazing. You would be amazed And I when people ask me, you know, about moving there, I always tell them, dude, stay away from San Antonio. That is, unless you have a federal job there, there's no reason for you to be in San Antonio. No reason. But when I was living there, I heard the mayor of San Antonio, which at the time, you know, her name escapes me, and I'm not going to look her up because she's not even worth looking up. She's very, I'm not going to call her out of her name because she is a nice lady. I've been at events that my fraternity has sponsored there in San Antonio, and she's a very gracious lady. Her husband's retired military, retired Army. Very nice people, but she made a statement that really set me back. And she said that, you know, something happened. I don't know if it was something Trump had done. I can't remember exactly what was done. But she made a statement that she thought we were living in a post-racial society. And that really, I lost respect for her when she made that statement, because if you have a brain in your head, you know damn good and well we are not living in a post-racial society, okay? We're living in a country that's founded on white supremacy and racism and the subjugation of black people, and you're going to sit here and tell me that in 2018 we're living in at that time I think it was 2017, that we're living in a post-racial society. Only fools, idiots, and children think like that. This country is not going to get founded on white supremacy and racism, and then in 2018, all of a sudden, we're on something else. That's not the way it works, people. You might want it to work a different way, but that's not how it works. And you're going to forever be living in if you're in the Western Hemisphere and you're a black person, you're going to be subjugated, whether you're in Canada, whether you're in Mexico, whether you're in the United States. And before you go get your passport and call yourself running off to another country, you might want to check to see how they treat blacks in that country, because they might treat black people worse. So before you decide you're going to run off to somebody else's country talking about, well, I bet I'll get treated better somewhere else. Well, you go over there and you'll be getting treated like a nigger there over there too. Might get treated worse. So the best thing for you to do is fight where you are. That's why when I told people before, I said, man, I had planned on moving back to Brazil. I had planned on moving to Brazil after I visited my cousin down there. Me and her brother, which is also my cousin, me and him went down there in 2003. And after we went down there, we had such a good time. I was planning on moving down there, and I probably should have. But then a few years ago, I started thinking, why am I going to run off to somebody else's country when they treat black people in Brazil worse than they treat them up here? I have never seen such abject poverty in my life until I went to Sao Paulo and Rio. And if you think the Caucasian people here have bad attitudes and think they're better than everybody else, go down to Brazil. They're worse. So the Gisel Bündchen type white folks that are down there, Caucasian people that are down there, their behavior is abhorrent. You think it's bad up here? Go down there and get some of that racism. There ain't nowhere for black men and women to hide anywhere. Even in Africa, you can't hide over there because they'll sell you out over there. They'll call Langley and find you over there if you're over there trying to raise hell. So you can't, there's nowhere for you to go. So you might as well stop being cowardly and fight. We have a culture of cowards. of cowardness. Of cowardice, I'm sorry. And I'll get into that later on in the broadcast. But the fallacy of a post-racial society is just that. It's a fallacy. If you want to believe that because Barack Obama was president for 8 years, that you're living in a country that is no longer racist, you are a fool. And at this point, right at this point in the broadcast, you should go do something else. Go clean your house. Go wash your car. Go call somebody on the phone. Go do something else. Because I guarantee the rest of this show, I'm going in. And I don't think you can handle it if you believe we live in a post-racial society. Well, how do we have a black president for 8 years? Remember, he was selected. Presidents are selected, not elected. A vote is no more than a symbolic, popular gesture that they extend to the citizenry of the United States to make them think they actually have a say in how their country is owned and operated. That's just to keep you from turning to total anarchy like they do in other countries when they realize that the central government is pimping them. See, as long as you keep the races divided, as long as you tell everybody that comes to this country that got pale skin that you're better than those niggers, as long as people come from other countries and they give them money to go and open up businesses in your community, in your neighborhood, because we don't have communities, in your neighborhoods, and get rich off of you, and then move up the socioeconomic ladder while you stay in the same place you've been since Reconstruction, what kind of country you live in? And voting is not going to get you out of that. And Barack Obama sat up in the White House for 8 years and did absolutely nothing for black folks. We had the city of Detroit, Motown, go bankrupt under his leadership. He didn't give Detroit one dime of federal money. But we continue to send Israel $3 billion a month for what? For what? I'm not going to get into that on this broadcast, but if you check me out, if you check out my channel on YouTube, the Mad Voodoo Man channel, subscribe to my channel on YouTube, Mad Voodoo Man, all one word, channel, and then my other channel is the Iceman Unchained. Those are my two YouTube channels. You will find videos that will explain why we give Israel $3 billion a month and why we allowed the city of Detroit to go bankrupt and the Detroit public schools has lead in their water. I just heard about this about a month ago. Detroit public schools, they have about 15 schools where they have had to shut the water off to the water fountains because the water had lead in it. You see how they treat black folks? Huh? You sitting up here talking about you live in a post-racial society. And then also under President Obama, the city of Flint sat up there and poisoned residents of the city of Flint. I have family in Flint. And you say you live in a post-racial society. And everything they're doing to black people in this country is covered in that book, The Turner Diaries, as well as a manual that was written by somebody that's probably an officer in the military There's a manual that's online, and it's been online for years. Let me see if I can find it. It's called FM-6-2003. Go look that up and download it. You will be horrified about the things that they talk about doing to black folks en masse in this country. And I get tired of black folks on Facebook and other platforms getting on my case talking about why you scaring black folks, why you talking about all this crap, don't nobody want to hear about this stuff, why you trying to scare people. I'm like, I'm not trying to scare anybody. I've had family say this to me. I've had family try to interrupt my show. Grown-ass, 50-something-year-old black people in my family try to disrupt my show on Facebook Live, talking crazy. Because black folks want to behave like perpetual children. And that's what happens when you allow another race of people, in our case, Caucasians, own and manage your life. So you can turn up, go to the club, shake your ass in the club, get your drink on, turn up, barbecue, and act like nothing. As long as you can go to your job Monday through Friday, you don't give a damn about any of this stuff I'm talking about. But see, now this stuff is starting to get close to home. And a lot of black folks, instead of fighting back, you choose to continue to be scared. And some of you have ramped up your ass kissing of Caucasian backsides. And instead of acting, and I'm mainly talking about you, I'm talking about black men and women, but I'm mainly talking to you black men. Because you so-called, you the old guard, old, scary civil rights generation Negroes, those of you who are about 60 years old and up, and I get tired of old black men lying, talking about, oh, man, I used to be a Black Panther. You wasn't no damn Black Panther. We got all these scary Negroes out here, and the reason why the black, we live in areas where there's total blight, houses falling over, and you got black men like my father, who didn't do anything but the last 60 years of their lives is go to work and go kiss some white person's ass. And as a result of that, there's no black businesses, there's no black jobs, and not only myself as a child of one of these scared black men who did absolutely nothing for them, a lot of you are in a position where you had to go to school and pay for your own education, and now you're in debt up to your eyeballs, even though you have a job. And no job that you get is ever going to pay enough money for you to pay $600 and $700 a month for a school loan. So what happens to those of us who weren't passed, who didn't have a parent that thought enough of them to pass wealth to them? What my father did as soon as my mom passed is he went out and started chasing women, spending all his money. And when he did get married, he went and blew all his money on a million-dollar house. And then when that housing bubble came and went, he walked away from that house, which made him look like the biggest fool in America, if not the world. So when you have black men that do that kind of stuff, black men and women, and we don't pass wealth on to our children, then you end up being 50, 60, 70 years old still paying student loans. Y'all see where I'm going with this? See, when you build, when black, if black men would have spent more time building businesses and then employing their families as well as other black folks outside their families, we wouldn't have the situation we have today. You don't see what's happening with us, with Asians. You don't see that happening. And the Asians got rich off of us. Like somebody was talking about, hey, do you see that movie Crazy Rich Asians? I said, oh, that movie Crazy Rich Asians that got rich off of black people? No, I haven't seen it. I don't plan on seeing it. And I don't know why your black ass went to go see it. But this whole fallacy of being in a post-racial society, that's the fault of my father's generation. And it's also the fault of my own generation. But we got put in a position where we didn't get past no wealth. My dad didn't pass no, my father didn't pass no wealth on to me. He didn't pass a damn thing on to me or my siblings. This is why black folks, this is why our people are in the situation we're in today. It's because our black men spent more time the last 60 years kissing ass and running up in corporate America and looking for a job and working these bullshit ass jobs, trying to get a gold watch and a pat on the back for working 30 years. Now we have generations of black men and women who have nothing. And we're going to spend the next 30 to 40 years trying to build some semblance of wealth, and hopefully we'll grow a brain and pass that wealth, that little bit of nothing wealth, on to our children. And again, we are in this condition today because of the so-called civil rights generation. You got people like John Lewis sitting up here talking about going down to the border and caring about Hector and Juan and Sancho and them kids getting separated from each other down at the border. These are people that broke into our country illegally. And what do you care how they get treated? Lewis don't give a damn about us. When was the last time you seen John Lewis give a damn about his own people? I'll wait. Not once have I ever seen John Lewis or any other so-called member of the Black Caucus say anything specifically about how black folks saying they're gonna do something about race soldiers posing as police officers, killing our people, ties white supremacy, white supremacist citizens going around killing black folks. Never once have they said anything. And if they do make any reference to race, it's always people of color. What the hell is a people of color? We ain't got no allies, people. When you listen to these lying-ass, fast-talking reverends and all these other ministers out here talking that bullshit that they talk, you can go ahead and follow them down that rabbit hole if you want to. And when the Nazi lowriders and the Cholo Nazis and all these other white supremacist groups and the Proud Boys and Patriot Prayer and all of these other white supremacist groups continue to wage war on black people, hopefully they'll get them first and not us. So you have to understand about these reverends. A lot of these reverends, well, the reason why a lot of these black men and women become ministers is so they can get out them factories. That's what they used to do when I was a kid. So they, these are the Negroes that was, you know, had they could talk faster than the rest of us, and they used that intelligence as a hustle. So a lot of them, oh, I'm a preacher. And so if they got in a either they started their own ministry or they went to another church and came up that way. And so the last 40, 50 years, we've been listening to lying-ass reverends talk that same dumb shit. And as a result of that, if you, I don't care whether you go to South Side, L.A., South Side, Chicago, Seattle, Fifth Ward, Houston, West Dallas, East, was it East Dallas? I think it's East Dallas. East Dallas, Liberty City, Miami Garden. I don't care or somewhere around or the New York City area, Philly, D.C. You see the same blight, and you know why that. And but then, right in the middle of that blight, you see 2, 3, and 4, 5 million dollar churches. So it's obvious that that Reverend so and so cares more about his career and him being not having to work anywhere. The Creflo Dollars, the Bishop Eddie Long, well, he's dead now, a.k.a. Reverend Peaches. These guys are more interested in parting the booty cheeks of little boys or the women in the church than they are seriously about doing God's work. So, I've said this even when I used to do this show back in 2011 and 2012, that I don't believe nothing. The reason why I don't go to church, first of all, I found out that Christianity wasn't something that we created anyway. And secondly, every black minister that I have had contact with was a charlatan from childhood all the way up to adulthood. And I'm in my mid-50s. You dig? So, no, I don't have no love for ministers. Every last one of them have been a lying-ass jokester and a charlatan. I've even gone to churches where the minister was having sex with the women in the congregation. So, no, I don't trust you. No, I don't. I don't believe nothing you say. To me, you're just as dangerous as these white supremacists. Because you lead our people down a rabbit hole of despair, and religion and spirituality are two different things. Okay, religion is symbolism. Okay, I'm gonna do this on the first Sunday of every month in remembrance of Jesus dying on the cross. That's symbolism. You getting up going to church every Sunday is symbolism. That's not spirituality. Now I hear a lot of black Christians that never been outside the United States. They'll say, "Oh, well, them Muslim men, they be making their people pray every 5 days, 5 times a day." Well, they might not make you go to church every Sunday, but you're being fed the same propaganda and the same symbolism. So none of you are better off. I'm proud to say I'm not a Christian and I don't go to church. I'm proud to say that. And I grew up in the church, singing in the choirs, all that junk. Now, I wish I had spent my time doing something more meaningful. Because you can have spirituality without going to church. Don't let these reverends fool you and tell you that lie. Talking about, "Well, son, if you leave our service today and you don't join our church, son, it might be too late." Don't let them run that fear game on you. $3 million, $4 million, $5 million church sitting in the middle of the hood. Houses falling down. People can't pay their rent. Poverty and gangs. And yet the reverend is sitting up there driving a Lincoln MKZ. You ought to go snatch them keys out of his hand and take that Lincoln home yourself and let everybody in the congregation drive it at least a couple of days a week, because he's stealing from you. He or she is stealing from you. And that's what feeds into this fallacy that we live in a post-racial society. Notice the reverends are the first ones to go out there and start telling everybody, everything ain't too bad now, brothers and sisters. Now, y'all go on home now. Don't tear up these good Indian store. Don't tear up these Asian store after they hit a black woman in the mouth. They're the main ones telling you to stand down. Come on, brothers and sisters, you got to stand down. Then they'll be cutting the deal. But as soon as y'all leave, they'll be like, look here, you give me $10,000 and I'll make sure I, keep trouble away. That's what they do. Y'all think I'll be lying. That's what Jesse Jackson did, shook down businesses. He shook down Toyota. Y'all have no idea. Sharpton and Jackson, you talking about snakes. There's a book called The Shakedown. I forgot who wrote it. There was a white dude that wrote a book about how Jesse Jackson and Sharpton and them be shaking down these major corporations. Oh, y'all ain't got no black folks that work there, and then Jesse Jackson will be harassing them. And then they'll donate $1 million to the Rainbow Coalition, and he'll shut up. That's an old hustle. But see, that hustle done dried up. You dig? So you can't... The whole civil rights hustle is an old hustle. It's an old hustle, and it's a hustle that has gotten us. To where we are today, where we have young brothers and sisters out here starving for real information that could empower them, because they can't get it at the HBCUs because they're all owned by old white family trusts. They can't get it in the black church because, unlike my generation, these young folks have realized that these reverends are talking out both sides of their mouths and their necks. Y'all see where I'm going with this? So now you got young brothers and sisters out here starving. This is why the internet is so empowering. And this is why so many young people listen to me. See, I get black folks my age and older, they listen to 5 minutes of this, they going about their business, because they realize that I ain't on here clowning around, which is what they expected me to do. They expected me to be on here clowning and acting silly like most adult black men do. Or they expect me to be talking about some old church Christianity bullshit. They don't hear any of that. They get pissed off and tune out. Understand where I'm going with this? And by the way, if those of you on Facebook Live and YouTube haven't been able to hear me, it's because I had this jack in here, this speaker jack in here for the past I don't know how many minutes. So some of you probably some of you of probably not being able to hear me. Hopefully you can hear me now on Facebook Live and YouTube. Hold on for a second. YouTube, let me check with YouTube and see if they can hear me. They should be able to hear me now also. But the black reverends, all they want to do is continue to have you come to church and waste your time. They want you to come to church and put your money in the offering plate so they don't have to go and work in corporate America like a lot of us have to do. And while you're, you know, struggling with the possibility of you losing your job at any minute, the reverend sitting up there chilling and driving a brand new Benz. Do y'all really see where I'm going with this? That's why I tell brothers all the time, don't ever put no reverend in front of me. Don't have no put no lying ass reverend in front of me. Okay? Because they're gonna get cussed out. Because the reason why we have gangs and urban blight from South Central LA to New York City to Southside Chicago, to Philly, West Philly, to West Dallas, Fifth Ward, Houston, Liberty City, Miami. The reason why we have the same old story in all of these major and medium-sized cities around the U.S. is because the black church has sold us out. The black reverends have sold us out. And the civil rights generation has sold us out. The John Lewis's. John Lewis is more concerned about Hector and Juan and Sancho and Maria and them down at the border getting separated from their children than with people who I might add broke into this country illegally. They're more concerned. The Black Caucus is more concerned about these illegals than he is about his own people. And that's something that shouldn't be lost on you. We don't live in a post-racial society. We had 8 years of Obama, and we had the Flint water crisis. We had now Detroit Public Schools is having a lead water crisis. The city of Detroit went belly up and bankrupt under his tenure in the White House. And remember, like I said earlier in this broadcast, presidents are selected, not elected. The voting process is merely a symbolic popularity contest that is designed to make Americans think they have a say in the operation of their government. And you do not. You do not, like you think you do. Starting to wake up somewhat under Trump's tenure, but you should have woke up before him, because Trump is just a symptom of a more serious problem. People want to act. You got a lot of black folks running around this country trying to act like Donald Trump is. It's because of Donald Trump we got racism in America. No, we've been had racism in America before Trump. And if you think that Trump is because of Trump, we're having all these race problems, you're a damn fool. By the way, what we're going to do at this point, because we, you know, we had some technical difficulties with Facebook Live and YouTube Live. What we're going to do, what I'm going to do is shut down blogtalkradio.com. If everybody on Facebook and everybody on YouTube, if you weren't able to hear the first 36 minutes of this broadcast, go to blogtalkradio.com/theIceman show so you can listen to the first part of the broadcast. Everybody that's on Facebook Live and everybody that's on YouTube live stream, remember, you missed about 35 to 36 minutes of this broadcast. So in order to hear that part which you missed, please go to blogtalkradio.com/theIceman show. And listen, now, it's going to take a minute for them to upload this. So it usually takes a couple hours, probably about 2 or 3 hours. And so you can go back and listen to this. And that way you can get caught up, because obviously the first 35 minutes of this broadcast is a wash. So I'm going to shut down Blog Talk Radio at this point. But if you want to listen to it, go to blogtalkradio.com/theIceman show. And then from that point, wherever that ends, then you pick it up here on Facebook Live and YouTube. Let me go ahead and shut down Blog Talk Radio.